my mantis is dashing in a tux. Will you please pass me one of those wall decorations? My, they look lovely.
Lombaki trio plomo plia zona now.
Smells like chicken here.
He's gonna be a chicken Nando's, isn't it?
The gang breaks into a Welsh prison to break out Luke Rogers.
What is up, Red Bull fans? You're listening to the discussion show, the energy drink soccer show. Joining us is some of the more prominent Red Bull fans on Twitter. Actually, I think most of them canceled. So we have these four guests on today. First, the co-host of our media conglomerate partners, Britt Bird from View from 202.
Hello. I thought you said Armenia for a second, and I was prepared for Pat to speak, although I don't know which side he's switched to now. I think he's become a conscientious objector or something. But also, I thought you said those people are canceled, and that is true. All of us are canceled in addition to the actual influencers canceling on us.
In addition, we have the most famous Danish fan of the New York Red Bulls, Mr. Pat.
How's it going?
Bad.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
In addition, joining us, Mr. Juan Escalante.
Hey guys, I didn't get an intro, but I appreciate being on the show tonight.
No, look, getting no intro is better than being mistaken for being Danish. It's okay.
Yeah, ask Robbie Keane.
Oh.
Local fan.
Local jokes get the local work.
And finally, joining us as well, Profe Mapo.
Hello, everyone. Good to be here again.
Is it good? Are we really having a good time? We have an interim coach, our best players in quarantine, we have a goalkeeping issue, our center backs are somewhat good but inconsistent, and our full backs are again inconsistent, and we don't even have a starting nine and a pure number six. But I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Well, I mean, I'm doing pretty well. Like, all that stuff aside, I think it's pretty interesting. This is like a collision of worlds, because me and Juan and Profe would always go on together, and Britt and Cork always went
yeah.
on. Now he's here with us.
It's, I have to say, I was ambushed.
A little bit strange.
I did not consent to this. I'm in breach of contract with Vox Media and the big Cork, Ben Cork, Ross Haley conglomerate. Please don't break my legs. Okay, we stopped recording, right? All right, fuck those guys. I'm glad to be here. Let's do this.
I was told that I was going to be on Seeing Red, but to debate the host. But I guess that's not the case.
One time I showed up to come on Seeing Red, and just Borat walked in. Very upsetting.
Oh wow!
Wait, is that a new player?
Maybe. Who knows? It would be if frickin' Austria would buy us players. Sign Borat.
If you are under contract by Once a Metro, say I. All right, good talk. So
this is my way of becoming exclusive to the EDSS empire. Becoming exclusive to the EDSS empire. Becoming exclusive to the EDSS empire. EDSS empire. EDSS empire. EDSS empire. EDSS. 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 EDSS empire. Becoming exclusive to the EDSS empire. becoming exclusive to the EDSS Empire. EDSS Empire. 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 Becoming exclusive to the EDSS Empire. Becoming exclusive. Becoming exclusive. Becoming exclusive. EDSS Empire. 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 Exclusive. EDSS Empire. Exclusive. EDSS Empire.
That's true. I want full loyalty. Anyone here write for Metro Fanatic, or have any of you been on the website?
I've opened it a few times.
Did your computer immediately crash?
I'm sorry.
Wait, do you mean the like website or like the forums? Very different beasts, those two.
Wait, they're different? Why don't you explain it to us?
Yeah, I mean, because Britt, you mentioned, I think, on 202 at some point. Like the value of all the stats on Metro Fanatic, like there's a lot of good stuff in there, but yeah,
it's very thorough.
The forums are a totally different animal.
If you like
the same feeling as if you were to, you know, take a cheese grater and rub it against your brain or something.
Ooh.
Yeah, I pretty much stopped going to the forums there once I realized it wasn't 2012 anymore.
Yeah, very, very sort of like, you know, it's like a runic script of a bygone era or something.
I do respect the website though being sort of a GeoCities thing, because it's the only website that will actually like load on my phone nowadays without jumping all over the place.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, it's really reliable.
Mm-hmm. It's reliable, just like the inanimate carbon rod. Hey, guys. That's a good old Metro Fanatic pull. Don't act like I don't go to that website. All OGs. We've been there.
It's the best for the stats.
It is?
You can find those stats anywhere else.
That's true. The league website redoes all their stats things like every couple years, and all the stuff breaks if you try to look back. But, you know, Metro Fanatic is just like simple HTML. Nothing to break there. It's all there.
Yeah.
You guys believe in XG?
God, no.
I don't know. It depends. Is that on 538 yet? If it is, then... of course, yeah. If it's on 538, I believe it.
What about the wands? Do you guys believe in XG?
I've never actually seen an XG in real life, and I can only believe what I see.
No, I don't believe in that.
Well, see, that's an interesting way to put it, because I've seen plenty of XGs, plenty of times I expected us to score, and then Derek Etienne or whoever had the ball would blaze it over the crossbar.
Yeah. I'll say I don't believe in it for Red Bull, because I don't think we try to score goals the way that expected goals.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah.
You try to score goals.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel like this has been brought up many times, but the idea that like when you rely on counter pressing to create chances, obviously like you're not going to be the kind of team that's peppering the goal. You know, with the beautiful possession soccer, passing it around the edge of the 18-yard box.
Why are you guys talking about soccer?
You brought it up. Know. You asked us about XG. You want to talk about something else?
Yeah.
He actually meant former members of G Unit.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Mm-hmm. G Unit.
Did G Unit ever disband? Maybe they're all still technically current members. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if they formally disbanded. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah. Whatever that is. Do you guys believe in love?
Wait, are you kidding, right? Like you're not that young, right? I'm not that old.
What's G Unit?
Yeah, 50 Cent, Lloyd Banks, Young Buck, G Unit. Vacate your home, I come to break your bones. America's nightmare, we at it again. A Desert Eagle and a Black Mac 10. They never know what happened when we come through. Them cowards don't want none. They screaming that they murderers, but walking with no gun. Come here, nigga, don't run or die where you standing. See, I'm
just move on.
I'm 100% serious.
One day I'll one day you'll learn.
Guys, I think I have an idea. I think we can make a killing selling 2012 era soccer t-shirts that say XG Unit.
That's great.
Wow. Yeah. Oh. An American hip-hop group formed by longtime friends and East Coast rappers 50 Cent, Tony Yayo, and Lloyd Banks.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know the renowned conservative tax advocate G-Unit? He actually used to be a rapper before and was associated with 50 Cent, rather. He was associated with the G-Unit.
I need a record deal. So, you know, we haven't been on air in over a month, almost 2 months now, and we've kind of dropped the ball on our biggest story, the investigative report and current search for Pat Benjamin. So, Britt, why don't you update us?
Benjamin! At Benjamin!
Yeah, it's been a winding road. If you listen to 202, which I don't think anyone does, you know that Pat Benjamin has been leaving some breadcrumbs, some recorded Zoom sessions, some transcripts in different Dropbox folders. The latest, though, I can say is that once again, it is the corporate espionage world that is after him. Pat was actually working on a very high-profile, very undercover expose of none other than our old friend Rocco Camuso, who, as we all know, Pat Benjamin very nearly reported had died of typhoid fever before being embargoed. Well, he's been brought back to life, and I have it on good record that Pat Benjamin had found Rocco Camuso in a hotel room being tempted by a plate of meatballs. Ooh. To which he has on tape Rocco Camuso saying, "Ooh, that's a spicy meatball." And then something moves out of frame and you can see the container is a Saputo meatball container. Rocco Camuso tempted by Saputo, Joey Saputo, the owner of Bologna, the owner of Montreal Impact, AKA single entity. Rocco Camuso has been tempted and corrupted by single entity, and he sent his goons on Pat immediately, and he's embargoed this report until now, but he's laying low because he did a whole sting. Rocco Camuso, quote, "That's a spicy meatball," on single entity. You heard it here.
Well, that's good to know. Rocco's done.
Yeah, for sure. Imagine supporting Saputo, Joey
right,
Saputo.
Right. Right. Those people who like single entity don't even do that.
Yeah.
The New York Red Bulls played this weekend against the Chicago Fire FC, SC United. The game ended in a 2-2 draw. Did all of you guys watch the game?
I did, yeah.
I did.
Yeah, my eyes watch. You know, like when you read a book and maybe you realize that your eyes looked at every word on the page, but you didn't really read it. I kind of did that with this game.
Mm-hmm. Okay. First goal of the game comes off very great play by Velo and Stroud. Stroud plays it out wide to Kyle Duncan, who somehow remembers how to shoot. And it's 1-0 Red Bulls. Pat, what are your thoughts about the goal?
I'm trying to remember very quickly. Was it Cork who posted that Kyle Duncan needs to get the Gareth Bale treatment? Was
yes.
that him? Yeah, I mean, I pretty much agree with that. It's kind of interesting how I guess he's become somewhat of a prolific scorer in an era where we don't have like a number nine because for some reason Brian White hasn't been getting adequate minutes. But I guess he played the whole game on whatever day, on Saturday, didn't he?
Yeah.
Or did he come off the bench? Right. Yeah, I did. I'll admit, I did the same thing as Britt, where I watched the game but didn't actually internalize anything that was going on. I don't know. Yeah, it's pretty cool that Kyle Duncan has scored so many goals, thanks large in part to Sean Johnson throwing the ball into the net that one time.
That's an all-timer.
Yeah.
All right, thoughts on the goal, Britt?
Yeah, I guess I continue to like Jared Stroud. I feel like that's a very encouraging thing from this year. I feel like Duncan popping up on the score sheet more might be just an indicator of kind of general chaos of right now. I don't really think maybe we will Gareth Bale him one day and he'll be banging him in reliably. I don't think we're really intentionally trying to score through Kyle Duncan, at least not now. Maybe we were when it was the Sean Johnson throwing it into the net treatment. But I you know, at least it's been fun. I mean, to what you're saying earlier about us being depressed and it being weird, at least it's been weird and fun, like with the mm-hmm. Caden Clark and like the Brian White scoring twice
yeah.
in a row. It's just been bits. These guys are doing rattling off bits. And Jared Stroud, I think it's not an accident or a coincidence that he was involved in this goal too. I think Stroud's going to be a real one. And I think that Struber is probably going to like that guy a lot. In fact, he's probably requesting that he plays right now so he can see more of him
Ooh.
Until he gets here.
Sounds like someone with a source.
Nope. So let that be clear. I never have sources beyond Pat Benjamin, and everything he says is true. But other than that, no. I will say when it's Pat Benjamin because I would never plagiarize Pat Benjamin.
Perhaps the fact that Duncan has scored so much lately is a result of his like extremely annoying tendency to cut inside and try and play as a 10 whenever he gets the ball. So he ends up in these sort of positions where one might be more likely to score. One might say is expected to come up with a goal.
Did he hit this one with his left foot?
Yeah,
it's super weird. Like, that's one thing I noticed with Kyle Duncan is that most of his goals have been from that spot. Or, like, it's either him shooting from outside of the box or like, that spot where he scores it. I feel like Kyle Duncan is low-key extremely technical from a standing position, now that I think about all mm-hmm. the goals he scored. So I'm curious if he can take a free kick.
Yeah, honestly. You know what, Juan? Let's stick on that Duncan idea that our Lord and Founder Cork presented. What do you think about the idea of making him a winger full-time?
I think that would be a better use of his skills. We see deficiencies as a defender, and so you would try to play him higher up. It's the weird thing because I think there are other players I think about in this position where they're kind of like between being a wingback or a fullback, where they're not good enough defenders to be a fullback, and they're not good enough at delivering crosses to be a wingback. So maybe in fact you just make him a winger, but then you have the problem of that his touch is very loose and he's not quite good at dribbling down the flanks as you would expect like a classical winger would. It just feels like he's doing a weird impression of what Mourinho used to do with his like very kind of upright languid style where he would glide past players and drive the ball, but he can't quite do that because his touch is not as clean.
Yeah, I was going to say, to your point, he has like this very sort of static and robotic way of moving with the ball that is, I mean, it's almost a little bit like unseemly, like very few players. I think actually the Mario comparison is pretty spot on, except again, like he's not like technically good enough to pull it off properly. But yeah, there are very few players who I can kind of liken his style of moving with the ball to, just because it's so awkward and weird.
Okay. Profe, I have a question. I have two questions, because you're the best one of us all. Question number one, should Kyle Duncan be transitioned into a winger next year? Question number two, could you see Kyle Duncan being traded next year? Go.
Yes and yes. I mean, they can do the transition to win back, and that could be one of the sell points, I guess. If they can put that in the resume, like, hey, you're going to get this player that can do right back and win back. So, you know.
I think Britt has a source, but doesn't want to tell us. But going on to the rest of the game, Chicago eventually equalizes in the 51st minute off Robert Berich and take the lead in the 71st minute off Frankowski. So, Pat, I know you were at this game. So what do you think happened to the Red Bulls after the first goal?
Well, I see. I don't like it when the other team scores on us. That's pretty unadvisable.
Yeah.
But it seems like the Chicago Fire Football Club were able to do that a couple of times. And the second goal, you know what? I can't even remember actually what happened the second goal.
It was
the one where the defending was abysmal.
I don't know, man. It's hard to evaluate our like team defensive performance, knowing how Struber's likely to want to play like full team defense, kind of more like we were used to in 2018, of kind of pressing all the way up the pitch. Because like ever since, although this whole year, the back line's kind of been improvising a little bit more successfully since Armas went. And it just looks like it's going to take the whole off season of drilling and resetting up everyone. So I think like the kind of breakdowns that we're getting like against Chicago have been really typical. It was really weird to me that that was the first goal from the run of play in like a couple games. Like I know it had only been penalties before, but I think that unfortunately for the rest of this year, we're probably going to give up more goals like that. Thankfully, not too many, but I don't think we're going to see the full product of Red Bull, pressing full team defense until it sounds like April of next year now.
Sometimes I scare people. I'm unpredictable. Take situations into my own hands to make them work for me. I'm a fighter. I'm a warrior. I'll run you out of the neighborhood and the business. I'm a protector myself and those. I'm vengeful. I hold a grudge.
Jumping into stoppage time, hope was lost. Chicago was going to move into higher playoff position. The Red Bulls were going to lose their undefeated, very quietly, undefeated three-game streak. And Brian White, off an amazing assist from Tom Barlow, scores.
Oh, shit, right. That was the goal.
Yep.
Yeah.
Scores the game-tying goal in stoppage time. What do you make of the Brian White goal?
Brian White would not have been the hero had Tom Barlow just taken a better touch on that ball. I feel like it was a lot easier for Tom Barlow to score that goal than not. But thankfully, we had two strikers. We had a striker to not take a nicer shot on goal, and we had no one to clean it up. Credit to Rizza for floating the ball up. No, he didn't float the ball up. He shot. Never mind. He took a deflection and then flow following the play. Yeah.
Was it blue? I thought it was white. All of them have the same fucking haircut now. It's too difficult.
Yeah, they all had the same. I think Rizza took a shot on goal, and it took a deflection, and then it popped up. And then Velo was... He followed the play. He headed it on goal. I think the keeper got the save, and then it goes to Barlow. And then, you know, the crap 90s football ensues.
Mm-hmm.
But, like... It's good. We got a goal. We preserved the result. I mean, how many championship winning teams pull off goals like that when they could have been dropping points? I feel like that happened quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's happened to us this year in the reverse. And Profe, what do you make of the Brian White goal?
I still don't get why Brian White is not starting in his. Best scorer right now. At the same time, we were very harsh with Barlow because of the way he keeps missing chances. But in that play, yeah, he missed the shot. I mean, it was an easy tap in, but he followed the play.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very important. I mean, sometimes you don't have a player to do that. And so he did something good in that play.
Yeah. So
yeah, like with Tom Barlow, I often find that, like, it's not even that, like, Tom Barlow is bad, but it just feels like he's half a step slower than he needs to be. Like, you can tell that he's going to make the right decision. Like, he picks the right runs, but his body is not quick enough to go to where his mind is. That's at least what I feel sometimes watching him.
Mm-hmm. I definitely, I think if, I don't want to be too harsh, but a lot of the Red Bull 2 players have made the transition from USL to MLS a lot more seamlessly, if that's a word, and more clearly and easily than Tom Barlow. So, Britt, let's talk about a very interesting guy, Sam Tete. That deflection that Juan was talking about earlier, that was off of Big Sam. Without that big deflection off of him, we don't get the goal. So what did you make about his first start as a Red Bull?
Wow. You know, I that literally went unnoticed by me. So thank you for highlighting the contribution of Big Sam to that. I guess the only thing I'll chime in about Barlow as well is that I just kind of wish we had signed him when he was 20 instead of 23 or 24 or what it was.
That wasn't him. That was Caden Clark, actually. But still,
it hit Caden Clark?
Yeah, who got the deflection. Never mind.
Oh, it's even better. But I can still talk about Tete.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Because it's funny, because Tete is in another line, the latest guy in a line of Red Bull signings. Because, you know, people love to complain or celebrate, you know, either like, oh, we're a farm team, which is not really true, not really precise or accurate of what the accusation is either, or, you know, like, oh, we're this great integrated, like, team with the Red Bull infrastructure and we get all these benefits from that, which is not fully true either, because, like, if you look at the guys that have literally gone back and forth between the two teams, you got Tete, Gulbranson, Omer Damari, Shikovsky, Sakaya. And it's a very enigmatic list. Mm-hmm. And then going in that direction, we only have Adams, who's like, you know, freak of nature, talent of all time to really go the other way. So the longer that Tete doesn't get significant playing time, and more, it makes me think he's just, like, for some reason, another one of these guys. When he signed, we thought that he might, like, be the most intentional of these kind of Salzburg guys yet. The longer that he hasn't gotten minutes, it makes me think he might just be getting rehab time or workout time here. At this point, though, I think, okay, so I guess rephrasing it, when he signed originally in the summer, I thought there was a potential maybe that if he, like, landed with a splash and started doing well and started being kind of played a lot with the intent of, like, okay, this guy might be our starting striker, we could have maybe even gotten away with going into next season with just being like, Tete's our guy. At this point, even if they plan on keeping Tete, it will seem really underwhelming and unsatisfactory to go into next season without signing another striker. Because he's just been kind of picking up random minutes here or there, hasn't really gotten a chance to prove himself. Big question mark still. I think even if we keep him, we're probably going to need another striker this winter.
He hasn't been here for 8 games, has he, yet?
Who knows? I don't know.
I don't think so. Impossible I can't count. To tell right now.
That's actually why I don't like XG. I can't count.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, that's fun.
Oh, man.
Let's have a very fun talk right now. Profit, you're going to go first. Okay, here's the question or prediction. By the end of his Red Bull loan, will Sam Tete have a more impactful moment than Josh Sims? Yes or no?
Jesus, what a question. I want to say yes. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, it could be the same thing, just scoring some good goal in the playoffs and then he just leaves.
Okay.
I don't know.
Juan Escalante, here's another question. By the end of his Red Bull career, will Sam Tete have more goals plus assists than Josh Sims?
That depends on if he's going to be here next season.
Let's say yes.
In the back of my head, yes. Oh, also, guys, he's played 9 games.
Already?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is that more than 8?
I think so, yeah. I'm not a mathematician or a math magician, but I think that's more than 8.
Next question.
All right, Pat. We can pass all the judgments we want, then.
Britt Bird. Will Sam Tete score more goals for the Red Bulls than Carlos Rivas?
Ooh. Yeah, I guess to Juan's point, these really are kind of proxy for whether he's here next year or not. But even if he is, maybe he doesn't play still. How many goals does Carlos have?
Yeah, just
come on.
3, 4? At least 2. I know it's at least 2.
I know he scored against Portland.
It is only 2, right?
It's 2.
It's gotta be only 2.
Yeah, he has 2 and 5. It's pretty good.
Ah, come on, Carlos. You didn't score 1 other?
He has 1 for Red Bull 2.
No, that doesn't count.
Oh, wow.
I don't think that counts.
You know, I'm actually gonna go with... No.
Ooh.
I have a weird hunch. I feel like maybe he will just be this... winter, and it'll be a weird Kim Shellstrom loan, and that'll be it.
Next question. Pat, who's younger, Sam Tete or Carlos Rivas?
Oh, goodness. I mean, it must be Tete. Carlos Rivas is what, 26?
Gods don't have ages.
I feel like Tete isn't that old.
He's 24.
So I win.
No. After the break, we talk about the rest of the season.
Right here on Air Force One.
The President's Story. It's the one story of 9/11 you've never heard before. Until now, in his own words, on 60 Minutes 2, Wednesday at 8, 7 Central.
To honor America and perform our national anthem, please welcome home.
Woo! Yeah! What's up? Listen up, here we go. I'm the new kid, moving in, getting it done, and I'm officially the candidate for having some fun, you know?
You better calm down, Corey.
Yeah. I'm talking about an all-out party, and we're getting it started. Mr. President, you mind some electric guitar?
Washington, D.C. will never be the same. We got Corey in the house.
Yeah. It's a party every week, baby.
Corey, check it out.
That's right, I'm in the house.
He's gonna shake it up and
check it out.
Take it all and rearrange it.
Just a little bit.
Got a new plan, hey, Uncle Sam. Look out now. We've got Corey in the house.
Party!
Corey in the house.
I'm your man.
Welcome back to Energy Drink Soccer Show. During the break, we had a very informed discussion on a very important Red Bull topic, Halloween. Let's play a game. In this game, we're going to do a round table, and basically, I'm going to say a Red Bull player, and one of the four guests is going to try to predict what kind of costume they will have for Halloween. Are you guys ready?
Sure. No, but go ahead.
So I'm going to say a player, and you guys get to say what costume they're going to wear for Halloween. So let's start with the most popular player on the team, Pat Seagrist. Pat, what kind of costume is Seagrist going to have?
Oh, it would be something super normie, like Tim Parker's horse thing a couple of years ago.
Britt, what kind of costume is Amro Turek going to have?
Oh, Amro is getting cocky and is not going to push the boundaries this year, and he's going to do a redo of his, like, Pharaoh one for the thirst traps, and it'll work again. Good for you, Amro.
Profe, what kind of costume is Kaku going to have? Take your time.
Kaku. Some superhero, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Not a normie thing, but like...
Okay. Juan, what costume is Omir Fernandez going to have?
He might do like a Batman and Robin thing with someone else on the team.
Awesome.
Maybe with Kaku.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pat, what kind of costume is Tom Barlow gonna be?
Oh man, I feel like you're giving me all the most, you know, white bread ones. Yeah, it'll be another thing like he'll be a cowboy or something.
Britt, what kind of costume is Royer going to be?
He's going to be a race car, an F1 car. Not a driver, the car itself, to be clear.
Profe, what kind of costume is Ryan Mira going to be?
Firefighter.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that one. That's the best one so far.
It's easy for him.
Juan, what kind of costume is Tim Parker going to be?
It's going to have to... He's definitely going to utilize his handlebar mustache. So whatever it's going to be, he's going to shave it specifically for that.
Okay. Pat, what kind of costume is Aaron Long going to be?
I think he's another one who would go for like a superhero thing.
Okay, I see that. I like it.
Do you think he would partner up with Tim Parker? Is that like a? Will that be indicative of their chemistry?
I don't know. I suppose it depends a lot on your theory about the handlebars. Like if Tim Parker is committed to that, then maybe not. But if he's open to doing the like maybe a bat yeah as you said like a Batman and Robin type thing, who knows.
Britt, what kind of costume is Sean Davis going to be?
Sean Davis is going to be a bowl of soup.
Uh-oh.
Damn. What kind of soup?
A nice, warm, definitely not gazpacho, fuck that. I'll say a nice miso soup.
Oh, okay. Creative.
Mm-hmm.
Profe, what kind of costume is Christian Caceres Jr. going to be?
Damn. He's going to be Atlas Guadalajara football player from the 90s. Basically, he's that.
Really? Was his dad better than him?
It was a different position. I guess his dad didn't have the same wasn't as good as a prospect as Cáceres. I think Cáceres probably has a higher ceiling.
Oh, okay. That's good. Juan, what kind of costume is... Ooh, have I not done yet? Oh, yeah, what kind of costume is Manny Egbo going to be?
Ooh, you know, I feel like Mandela Egbo is going to be a bit of a wild card. Like, I have high expectations for him. Like, I think if he dresses up like Blade, that would rule.
He's going to be a cheeky Nando's, isn't it?
Awesome.
He's going to go as a tuna pizza.
Okay, next round is rapid fire. I'm going to say a name. And in this order, Pat, Britt, Profe, then Juan. Pat, Britt, Profe, then Juan will go. So I'm going to say one player, and immediately you guys are going to say who or what kind of costume they're going to be. So Caden Clark, what kind of costume?
Terminator. Looks like someone forgot the order.
Oh, we're not getting new people.
No.
We're not. Nope. Oh, okay. I'm going to say Shattered Glass.
New York Daily News back cover. Back page.
Tom Holland, Spider-Man.
Oh, that's a good one. That's one of the best ones so far. Brian White.
Terminator.
A printout of the cover of the Beach Boys' Pet Sounds.
Milkman.
New York Red Bulls 99 jersey, but says White Phillips on it.
Oh, that's good.
That's some very powerful and ambiguous energy emanating from that object.
Well, it was that or the Philly Fanatic, and I took the more creative route.
Oh, I'm not saying it's bad. It's just a very peculiar energy.
Next, RZA.
Oh, he's gonna go as in the same line of like mascot talk. He's gonna go as Metro Dog.
He's gonna go as an angry bird.
What's the name of this character? The old TV series, the guy with a horse, the Silver or something.
The Lone Ranger.
Yes, that one. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I like that. One.
He should dress up as David Guetta from that MLX.
Oh, we got company. MTV support. Lloyd Banks right here.
And it's your man, Young Buck, Dirty South.
Check this out. We got the newest edition of G-Unit.
It's the game, a.k.a. the California Kid. We don't play around.
The New York Red Bulls take on the Bruce Arena-led New England Revolution. Funny enough, the Revolution, the last time we played them, one of the worst games again of the year, we had a different coach. A coach that was one of the many players and coaches that worked under Bruce Arena. So, Profe, what can you tell us about the Revolution?
The Revolution, solid team. I mean, it's a Bruce Arena team. They struggle with scoring. Gustavo Bow and the other DP that they got, the Buxa, were not scoring like after MLS back. And but they got better. It's just that Bow got injured. But the good news for them is that they have Carles Gil, the playmaker, back. And he already played against Nashville a few minutes. That's key for them, especially in playoffs. I guess for us, it's like we had to keep an eye on that player because he's dangerous.
Yeah, that's right. You know what? Looking at the Revolution roster on Profe is probably going to do really good in this game. Let's play a game. I'm going to say a player, and you're going to tell me whether or not they're currently on the New England Revolution roster. Are you guys ready?
Shoot.
Sure.
Okay. So, We'll go in the same order as last time. But this time, Profe goes last because he probably knows most of the answers. So it's going to be Pat, Britt, Juan, then Profe. Everyone ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, first player is Jeff Cameron.
He's not on the roster. He's on the roster, isn't he? No, he's not.
He's not. Is it going to me automatically? He's not. I know because people were getting mad online about him and being a QPR recently. So
yeah, if he was at. I'm going to say no, because if he was at the Reds, I would have known about it.
All right, perfect. No. That's correct. Next one. Kikuta Mane. Is he on Revolution, Pat?
I have no idea. Yes, he is.
Oh my god, I would have never guessed that he was, but that's such a odd person to pull that he must be, or else why would you ever think to say that name? So sure, I'll say yes.
Either he's on Cincinnati or he's on the Rams. I'm going to say yes.
Perfect.
Yes, he is.
Yep, that's correct.
All right.
Oh, man. Wait, so he was traded this year?
Yeah, he's been on like five different teams.
Okay.
Next player.
He was traded or he got like waived and then they signed him? I don't know. I don't remember that part. But yeah.
Yeah, I think that's right. Next player, Matt Polster. Is he on the Rams, Pat?
He is.
Yeah, I'll say yes.
Rangers Football Club legend Matt Polster is on the Revs.
All right. Juan, is he on the Revs? I mean, perfect.
Yes, he is.
Nice. Next player. Juan Agudelo. Is he on the Revs, Pat?
He's not. And the reason I know that is because he scored against us for Miami a few weeks ago.
Yeah, same. If he literally hadn't scored, I probably would have screwed up and assumed yes.
That was the low hanging fruit one, I guess.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't expecting him to be back at the Revs, so I'm going to say no. He's still at Miami.
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. He's in Miami.
Next player, Tommy McNamara.
Ooh. He was on the Dynamo. Again, a very Revs thing to do would be to sign him, like, this year without anyone knowing. We just say no, he's not. He's somewhere else.
I'm also going to say no, although I agree with Pat that that's a good poll because it would be very Revs for him to randomly be there.
You know what? I can picture him and his, like, greasy hair in that jersey, so I'm going to say yes.
Profe? I'm second-guessing myself pretty seriously right now.
Well, like, I feel like I can picture him in the jersey and not just in my imagination. Yeah.
There's something about, like, I remember there was a while ago where, like, Juan, we were talking about how, like, you were, like, the farthest south in Yonkers, and then it was Pat Murphy and then Tommy McNamara, and I made a joke about how it was, like, it gets worse as you go farther north. And something about that to him going to the Revs and like even farther north than North Yonkers.
Isn't he from Nyack?
Sticks in my head.
He's from Rockland County. He is from Nyack.
Yeah, what is Rockland County but extremely north Yonkers? Or cursed Yonkers.
Not even. You have to cross the river to get to it.
Right, it's Bergen County too.
Yeah.
Oh fuck. Yeah.
Profe, what's the correct answer?
I think he is.
Yep.
And he's playing deeper. Yep. Like, deeper on the field, yeah. He does, like, what Balot is doing for us now. Mm-hmm.
Next player, Seth Sinovich. Is he on the Revs, Pat?
Ooh. This one I is a total shot in the dark. I'm going to say he is not.
Man, that's another.
I have no idea.
That's an extremely good example of a guy. Hand it to you again. No, I feel like in my heart of hearts, I think he's on the Earthquakes. But I say that about every one of these guys. So I'll say no.
Man, Seth Sinovic has got to still be on like his 20th year at Kansas City. I'm going to say he's not on the Reds.
Yeah, I will say no.
No, yeah, he's on the revs.
No.
Yeah, he's on the revs. I would not know. Wow. I just can look it up right now. He hasn't played a single game, but yeah, he's on the revs.
Oh my god.
See, now I can't remember if I said yes or no. I probably said no, right?
Yeah, you said no.
Ah, damn.
All right.
That's a Bruce move. I can't imagine. Yeah.
Zero games.
They just posted the other day that Teal Bunbury's been there for like, he's like set the record for appearances or something. That's
really?
Wow.
Yeah. Just that's so powerfully mediocre. It just kind of overwhelmed me.
Yeah, Britt, I was just going to say, like, he is so emblematic of like the sort of post MLS Cup loser team revs. Even though I think he was already on the team, but like, yeah, he reminds me of every trip that I've gone up to Foxborough, more than any other single revs player, I suppose.
The only thing I remember from is the one cap he got when he scored a penalty, and that guy for some reason had the celebration, the radio call that was like, "I like that booty, I like that booty." Yes. Pause. Yes. Teal Bunbury.
I don't remember this.
That's his only cap. And otherwise, if he probably would have played a shit ton of games for Canada, mm-hmm, if he had just gone for Canada.
Yep.
And this is just a cautionary tale that I feel like he should have just... Akindele made the good choice. He's been playing for Canada forever.
Yeah.
But Bunbury got his one weirdo cap and has been stuck in New England in purgatory forever as a punishment.
Yeah, I regret that one.
You know who probably played in that game too? Was probably Juan Agudelo and Mixtus Grood.
That might have been the one. Actually, I think I may have looked this up. That might be Dax's one senior cap too in that same game.
You guys need to tell me out which game is, like, I'm totally out of this. Which game
is
this?
It's not. It was definitely a friendly match.
Yeah, it was a January game
or something.
This is probably my favorite U.S. men national team game ever. These names.
Right. I also cannot believe that Lin Nguyen is back there. After,
yeah,
that's a definite broken clock being wrong twice, mm-hmm, a day type of thing. Because I just completely slept on him being in LA and Miami and forgot about that entirely. But hey, now I'm right again. He's back where he started.
Yeah, and after the tantrum that he threw to get out of New England,
kind of free though. Yeah, Frito.
Still though, you'd think that
he wouldn't go back. I mean, don't a bunch of MLS players say New England's like the last place they'd play at?
Yeah, it's like it's either there or, no offense, guys, but like Houston is often one, less so for the infrastructure of the club, but more just like having to, you know, play in Houston weather.
It's pretty brutal.
I think the only player that knew what it meant to play for New England was Shalrie Joseph, because he never wore cleats. He wore turf shoes because he knows he was going to play on Foxborough. Look at pictures. He's wearing specific turf shoes to the point that he would wear turf shoes on natural grass.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that's a man, nice Easter egg.
Absolute legend.
Legend. All right. Last player.
Teal Bunbury scored against Chile from a penalty kick.
What year?
Wow.
2010. Yeah, 2010. November of 2010. In the Nelson Mandela Challenge Cup. Piecing it together. Did Teal Bunbury...
Oh, that's right. No, yeah. That was like a friendly tournament, and that was when Juan Agudelo scored his first goal in like stoppage time or whatever against South Africa, maybe, or something like that.
I do remember that Agudelo South Africa thing.
Fun night. Wasn't alive though. Last player, Kellen Rowe. Pat.
Oh, he must be another like Lee Nguyen type who left to go to I don't even remember where, and is now back at the Revs. Although he might not have done that. So I'm again, kind of a shot in the dark here. I'm gonna say no. He is somewhere else.
Yeah, same line of thought.
I think I know where.
I have a feeling he's in like Nashville or Cincinnati or Columbus, some sort of cursed Middle West part of the country. So I'm gonna say no.
I know most recently he was at Sporting Kansas City, but I think it's like the same Tommy McNamara thing where I could picture him in this new Rev kit. So I'm gonna say yes.
Yeah, he's back in England.
Yeah, he's back.
See, I had it in my head for some reason. Maybe it's just because Britt said the thing about, you know, picturing every sort of lost MLS player soul ending up in San Jose. I was like 80% sure that he's actually playing for the Earthquakes right now.
Oh. Yeah, it's actually kind of crazy. You guys remember that Revs team that went to MLS Cup like 6 years ago? Well, they have like half that team. It's still there. Farrell's still there. Scott Caldwell's still there. Teal Bunbury.
I mean, they're just so unbelievably committed to a point where I completely respected. Unbelievably committed to MLS 2.0.
Kellen Rowe is there. Bunbury, like I said, is there. And Lee.
Who's in goal for them right now?
Matt Turner.
Matt Turner. Yeah.
Right. It was still Reese when they went to MLS Cup, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.
But hey, let's not be outdone.
No. Wasn't it Bobby Shuttleworth?
Maybe that was their only other chance that they had was about Bobby Shuttleworth.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, and then I think the only other goalkeeper I remember for them recently would have been like Cody Cropper or something.
Yeah. The guy who tried to fight GSU by himself.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I refuse to be outdone. I'm calling up Peggy. I'm calling up Eric Alexander. I'm calling up Johnny Steele.
Johnny Steele.
Let's get the whole group back together and let's out 2014 them.
Seriously.
I'm going to. The gang breaks into a Welsh prison to break out Luke Rogers.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and let's get Armando back.
Did he even play?
Armando retired, no? Recently.
Oh. I mean, half of these guys are probably retired, but who cares? does anyone know if Marcus Holgerson's Twitter DMs are open?
Oh, wow. You know, Eckersley, Eckersley's great. The first scene of this movie is going to Eckersley's weird vegan farm in Canada and saying, we need you back. The moment has arisen. Peggy never retired because he just stopped returning texts and voicemails, which is the way to go out. So
right.
Well, as much as we make fun of this Revs team from 2014, we should remember what happened in the Eastern Conference Finals.
No, we shouldn't.
No.
Wait, I thought this wasn't Seeing Red.
Score prediction time. Let's start with Pat. What's the final score going to be?
It's at Red Bull Arena. I mean, so even though we are out of, like, the Armist zone, which, you know, hallelujah, but, you know, everything is still, you know, kind of the zone. Like we're still all living in the zone right now. Yeah. So I think it's going to be, like, another sort of, like, 1-1 game where neither team really gives a shit, and we get a couple of outstanding performances from players that we all think are pretty good, like Stroud and Omer Fernandez. Maybe it's 1-0 to either team. I mean, it's like, how do you even make a prediction right now? I'm sticking with 1-1 again.
Okay. That's a good choice. Britt.
I feel 1-1 as well, but I feel and endorse everything about it being lame duck session. But I'll say the pattern as of late is streaks of two of random banter things happening. First, it was Caden Clark scoring without even really knowing what he was doing or where he was. Second is Brian White scoring deep in stoppage time to save the game. So we're due for a new one, because that's happened twice already. What's the new one going to be?
I mean, that's what you're supposed to be predicting.
A Samuel Tete hat trick.
Oh, ooh. Jesus.
I'm going to go with Tete. Tete scoring in a comical but decent way, but also conceding a penalty in a comical way. that you can't be too mad at him. And we draw 1-1 because of it. The Samuel Tete 2 for special.
I mean, I predicted the Samuel Tete hat trick, but I could also go for a Tom Barlow hat trick. I could, like, what are, do we want, something new would be the Samuel Tete hat trick. Something old would be like a Barlow double or like a Rizza screamer from the edge of the box.
Really old. So now you have to say that we're scoring 3 at this point, don't you? Like, you've kind of backed yourself into a corner.
Yeah, maybe if we're like 3-1 or something.
Ooh.
Complete banter. That, like, Bruce will just look really upset at the end of it. Like, I can't believe I lost to these guys.
That'd be funny. Wasn't he, like, suspended, too? Didn't we coach against Richie Williams for, like, a game?
Yes, we did coach against Richie Williams.
Is he back?
Bruce?
I mean,
he must be, right? I mean,
he's back.
Yeah, I don't think Bruce was suspended for 10 games.
That's kind of another thing about this weird season is that, like, the order of games that we've played is so, like, so jumbled in my head.
Yeah, that feels like a completely different season to me.
Oh, yeah.
Right, it's simultaneously a completely different, like, it's simultaneously last year, and it was also 2 weeks ago, the Revs game in Foxborough.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but whatever.
Yeah. No, I feel like we've played an Apertura and a Clausura, but it's still in less time than either one.
Yeah,
we were robbed of the Richie Williams Armis rematch, but Profe, Profe, what's the final score gonna be?
Oh, it's gonna be another draw, and I go for 1-1.
Oh wow! Would you look at that? We play NYCFC after.
Yeah.
Right.
Talk about that later. Thank you guys for coming on. Why didn't you guys?
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Thank you guys for coming on. Why didn't you tell us where to find you on Twitter and what podcast have you guys under contract? Starting with Pat.
You please don't find me on Twitter, as I always say. And I believe Off the Purge is coming back this week. I have a source.
Oh.
Brit has.
So at this point I've appeared on here like maybe twice as many times as Off the Perch since the real season started back in March. But I do believe that we're recording this week, finally.
It's because I'll
ask Steve to unblock you again.
It's because I pay you.
Yeah, that's true.
View from 202 on Twitter. And if you want to read actual words in an order, couldn't be me. You should read onesametro.com, aka the SB Nation blog.
Nice. One.
I'm going to be firing up my Metro Fanatic account again, and I'll be posting plenty of threads there again.
Sweet.
And Profe.
Profe Mapu, Juan Mapu on Twitter.
Thank you guys for coming on. This has been the Energy Drink Soccer Show! The Energy Drink Soccer Show is shot in front of a live studio audience.
Especially not on Discord. Actually, you know, it works fine with BMS. It's mostly when Peaches tries to set these up that I struggle.
Oh, okay.
Wait, which one is that?
Which what is that?
Peaches, which one is that? Okay, everyone, if you're ready to go, say I.
I.
Alright.
I.
It was just a mess of eyes. You don't know if that was everyone.
I know all your voices.
I'm actually under threat of death before I tell my source. There's more to come from the Pat Benjamin saga, but it cannot be revealed right now. Let me just say, many people are calling this the Pat Benjamin election.
I have heard that.